today. And Daniel Lee helped me with the slides that we're going to be looking at. I think we have right now a picture of the Bible. And we're going to be looking at some passages here in Matthew chapter 22, if you'll be turning there. And when we look at, and today really the lesson's about the golden rule. But we're going to develop a little bit quickly because I want to try to make five applications of the golden rule that are not normally made. And I'll have to confess to you that I did not invent this lesson, but I stumbled across it some time ago and I went, whoa, I need to reevaluate my life. And I think you'll see as we look at some of these scriptures, it will help us to do that. We have a lot of visitors in the audience. And we're thankful that you've chosen to come and be here. Some of these visitors are, there's one here that I had met a little over 5 years ago, and she had to jog my memory a little bit about that. And we're thankful that you're here. And one I met about 17, 18 years ago in Providence, Rhode Island. And, you know, when you see folks that you've met from the past, and when we see everyone here, there's two things that are very likely. One, you're still alive, and there's no guarantee of that, is there? There is no guarantee of that. But do we think about that? You're still alive, but even more importantly, you've made a decision to come here today. You've made a decision, I believe, to walk with God, and that's way more important. And the devil, that means the devil has not won with you, as he's trying to snatch each one of us away from God, to be in the world and to be without hope in this world. And that's not where we want to be. In Matthew 22, let's take a look at verse 34. It says, "But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, 'Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?' Jesus said, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.'" We've seen these verses. The world has seen these verses. Different versions bring it out a little differently when he says, "On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." All of them. Every bit of them, that's what he said. Some versions say depend. There's different ways. But the bottom line is, if I understand what's being taught here, is that God is telling me that everything I've done from you from the beginning of time, every story you can read about in the Old Testament, when you read about Adam and Eve, and when you read about Noah, and when you read about Abraham, and when you read about David, and when you read about Hezekiah, and as we then read about the coming of the Christ and the apostles and the New Testament church and the things that God wants the New Testament church to do and every New Testament Christian to be, that all of that comes to this right here. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Second is to love your neighbor as yourself. Others. Yes, Christianity is about others. Another way of saying it, sometimes we say here that it's not about me. That's true. And sometimes we say it's all about God. That's true. Go a little further. It's all about God and others. That's what Christianity is. And that's what all the, from Genesis 1 to Revelations to the end, chapter 22, it's all about this. This is it. And so, as I said, when I read this lesson a few months ago, and I took a look at myself, and I realized I got some work to do. I'm falling short in certain areas. And I think you'll see the same thing as we make some application of the golden rule. Let me move real quickly, first of all, and I want us to look at other places in the New Testament where we find similar teaching, first of all. Matthew chapter 7, which Byron has just finished this in the Sermon on the Mount, and Byron spent some time talking about the golden rule. Matthew chapter 7, and in verse 7 it says, Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives, and he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who's in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. There's another way of saying it. Hang all the law on the prophets, for this is the law of the prophets. And we're going to see some other things that bring out. I can't say for certain that the very next verse talks about entering into the narrow gate, but I want to suggest to you, I don't know that Jesus was changing his thoughts. How important is this subject about loving my neighbor as myself? How important is the golden rule that the Bible doesn't call it that, this verse here, verse 12, but it became known as the golden rule. Just how important is it? Well, I want to suggest to you, from these two verses right here, it's everything to us. I need to take a look at myself to make sure, do I love my neighbor as myself? And of course, I don't want to be like the one Pharisee who said, who is my neighbor? Trying to justify himself when Jesus came back and told the parable of the Good Samaritan. And we'll try to read that if we have time today. And his bottom line in answering that question is others. Who is my neighbor? It's not the guy that lives next door to you alone. Certainly it is. But also, it is someone down the street, someone down the next city or the next country. It's everyone. That's what Jesus was teaching. My neighbor is everyone. And who is my neighbor? Here's another question you could ask, though. Who am I going to be a neighbor to? Two ways of looking at it. There's many ways of looking at the golden rule. There was a person from a long time ago named Richard Thomas France who says, what you can do with Matthew 7, verse 12, is look at it from the negative. Let's look at it from the negative. The negative is, don't do to others what you don't want them to do to you. Do you know that that's mostly what we think of when we think of the golden rule? Well, I don't want to hurt you, and certainly this is part of it. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, and all these different things is doing something to someone that's going to harm them, and you don't want that done to yourself. That's the negative. Today's lesson is not necessarily about the negative. Sometimes that's called the silver rule. The golden rule is to do unto others as you would have them do unto you, not what you don't want them to do. This isn't new to the scriptures. Old Testament, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, we remember it talks about love God with all your mind, heart, and soul. It's there. Believe it or not, Leviticus chapter 19, I don't have time to go there, but if you want to do some reading, verse 9 through 37, you will find that God taught the Israelites to love their neighbor as themselves. So this teaching up here in Matthew 22 isn't necessarily new teaching. However, put them together, and I believe it is new teaching. And secondly, when we consider now, we really know how to love God more than ever we could have ever known because Jesus exemplified love for us on the cross, as we talked about during the Lord's Supper this morning. Jesus taught us how to love God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and how to love our neighbor. When you see Jesus, and I hope you did this morning, hanging on the cross, he was thinking about his neighbor. He was thinking about everyone because he wants everyone to be saved. And so should I. And so this is a critical lesson for us to think about, and we want to make proper application. And I want to make a statement that I'm not necessarily going to spend time proving this morning, but I believe, and I'd like to encourage you to go back and consider it. But when we look at these two verses up here, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. I want to suggest to you that you can't love your neighbor as yourself until you learn to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. You can't do it. And I want to suggest to you, you can't love God with all your heart, mind, and soul until you learn to love your neighbor as yourself. They're interconnected. And what are we really talking about here? Well, what we're talking about, and we're just going to glance at this, it's something to consider at another time. There are people, religious people, that believe in perfect law keeping. Then there are other people who believe in what we might call perfect love keeping, thinking that we have compassion towards others, and from our heart we want to help others in every way we can, apart from God and apart from the scriptures. And this is what I want to say for you to consider. You can't do either one. You'll never do either one. In other words, the person who believes in perfect law keeping but leaves his heart out of it has not kept the law, because the law is pointing us to serving God from our heart and loving him from our heart and loving our neighbor as ourselves. And the person that believes in loving his neighbor as himself but doesn't look to the word of God to really understand what that really means cannot do it. Matthew 7:21 teaches us that. When we don't consider what God has to say about how we go about doing what we do as a collective group or as an individual. So now as we move on, let me change the slide here. I want to talk about the golden rule, Matthew 7, verse 12. Not the silver rule. Now there'll be overlap. There'll be some overlap in doing this. But I'm going to try to make 5 points. And the first one, go back, is in business. The golden rule in business? What does the golden rule have to do with business? Well, it has everything to do with business. Because what we need to realize is that every part of our life, whatever it is we're doing in life, needs to consider Christ and needs to consider the golden rule. Sometimes we kind of compartmentalize our lives. We say, well, I have a family life, I have a work life, I have a social life, I have a recreational life, I have an academic life, and when I have time, I have a Christian life. And it's during that time that I'm going to be what God wants me to be. No, that's not it. Jesus has never consented to being one spoke amongst the many spokes in the wheel of life. No, quite the opposite. Jesus wants to be the hub of your life. And therefore, instead of being when I look at my family life, I need to have a Christian family life, or be a Christian father, or a Christian mother, or a Christian employee, or a Christian employer, or a Christian husband. Whatever it is I do, I need to consider God. And wherever it is I am, the golden rule applies. Now, we don't always apply it. And I'm not here to tell you that I have always applied it. I'm not here to tell you that I have perfected this. In fact, I thought about this a while, for all the preachers in the audience, that if a preacher waited until he perfected his message in his life, he would never preach it, would he? And so there's a difference when a person is striving for perfection and growing and bringing a message that he himself is still trying to grow to. And we can tell the difference when it's coming from our heart. And so we must practice the golden rule in our business dealings. Colossians chapter 3 and Titus chapter 2 bring out the idea of the master-servant relationship. Colossians 3, 18 through 25. Titus 2, 9 and 10 talks about pilfering, stealing. And you know, that works two ways. Employees steal from their employers. Sometimes we call it time theft. Or might be that they put a few pins in their pocket that belong to the company and take it home. Or some paper. I remember one time I was in Oregon, actually. And on camera, one of our employees was seen taking a box of paper. And everybody went berserk. It was one of my people. I didn't see it. It came brought to my attention. I was a manager. had to go view the film, and sure enough, there it was, you know. So we had to bring her in, still growing and learning as a manager, and of course, the first thing you never do is accuse. You ask. I don't think it quite went that way. We lost that person. If we would have took the film a little further back, we would have seen her carrying the box of paper into the company because there was another store next door that was selling out a bunch of stuff and all that. So we're faced with this. Now, this is a real thing. There's a lot of stealing going on, and it happens. The employer can steal from the employee, and the employee can steal from the employer. If we use the golden rule, though, in this, things should work out. I did a little reading, and I found out there was a person by the name of J.C. Penney. You ever heard of J.C. Penney? He's been around all our life and before. J.C. Penney understood this. And when he started his first business, it wasn't called Penney's. It was called the Golden Rule Store. And he actually didn't open that store. Someone else did. And then he partnered in. And then he added a few more, and then added a few more, and added a few more over time. It all began in the early 1900s. I want to read a quote to you from J.C. Penney about his store. And this goes back a ways. In setting up a business under the name and meaning of the Golden Rule, I was publicly binding myself in my business relations to a principle which had been a real and intimate part of my family upbringings. To me, the sign on the store was much more than a trade name. We took our slogan, Golden Rule Store, with strict literalness. Our idea was to make money and build business through serving the community with fair dealings and honest values. Now, this can be found in a book that I don't agree with the title, but it can be found in a book called There's No Such Thing as Business Ethics. And that's in there. Yes, there is. We live in a time when it's hard to find ethics. We live in a time when it's hard to find integrity. We live in a time when employees don't have it, when employers don't have it, when customers don't have it. Tim and I went to a seminar one time. He knows what I'm going to say. Jokingly, the very professional speaker stood in front of hundreds of people and said, all buyers are liars. And everybody laughed. And it wasn't funny. But somewhat true. Not all buyers are liars, but so many of them are. Not a Christian employee or a Christian employer. The golden rule applies in this way. And so we want to be sure that that describes our life. Everyone here in some way is involved in business. Now you might say, no, I'm not. I'm a stay-at-home mom. No, you're involved in business. Because you're involved in business because you go into the marketplace and you go into the marketplace and an item is $50 and it's been mismarked at $5. Or somebody moves a price tag. Or you go into a restaurant, and this is a hard one for me because if you know me, you know I'm oftentimes too much in a hurry. And you sit down at a restaurant and they're not staffed right. Things didn't go right today, and it take too long to get to you, too long to serve you, and on we could go. Now, you can be rude, you can be ugly to the waitress who had no control over that, or you could practice the golden rule and think, that could be me. That could be me in that situation serving everyone else, and I had no control of the fact that my boss didn't bother to get enough people here today to take care of the people. The golden rule in business, it's everywhere. And we are to be Christian business owners, employers, managers, salespeople, employees. All of us need to take this to heart. Let's go a little further. The golden rule in our speech. Now, there's a lot of scriptures that talk about taming the tongue. James chapter 3, James chapter 4, James chapter 1, bridling the tongue. Passages that talk about being a talebearer and how it's like a tasty trifle. You understand what a tasty trifle is? I was at a shower yesterday, wedding shower. I went in at the end and went migrated toward the chocolate. And it was hard not to take a few of those, and I needed none of them. You know that tail bearing is exactly like that. Gossip is exactly like that. It's tempting. It's attracting sometimes. If we're not being careful, the flesh is taking over. I'm not thinking about what's going on. And I become a gossiper, or I become the recipient of a gossiper, and I am not practicing the golden rule. Not at all. I don't want anybody talking about me, and I'm not going to talk about anybody else except when it's appropriate for their good and for their betterment. Abe Lincoln said this: "Do not add the weight of your character to a charge against another person without knowing it to be true." Well, that's half right. The other half is, it may be true. Maybe just hearsay. But if it is true, do I still need to say it? Whoever it is I'm about to talk to about someone else, is it going to be good for them? Is it going to help them? Now, if it's a brother who's in sin and you've gone to that brother, the Bible teaches us, if they will not hear you, to go to one or two more and you take them to them. That's not the same thing. You're going after their good and their well-being and their soul and salvation. And that's a good thing. And God teaches us to do that. There was a preacher one time that asked a woman to do something for him. He said, "I want you to go." He gave her a box of feathers. "And I want you to go over here to downtown in this city. I want you to place these feathers at different spots along the sidewalk. And if you have some left, go to the next block and then go to the next block and then come back and see me." So she did that. So when she came back, he said, "Now go gather them up." She said, "That's impossible. The wind has scattered them everywhere." He says, "So it is with your gossip and your slander. It's been scattered with the wind. It's impossible to get it back." She learned a lesson that day. Will we? Do we? Now, this next one I want to talk about, I'm not going to tell you that I've got this one down, but I'm trying. But when I read about it and I thought about it, I realized I'm falling short. There's so many people that need to hear the gospel that are not hearing the gospel. And why not? Because once again, my opportunity came and I was silent. God wants us to teach people about the gospel. And I want to, give me just a second here, share a story with you. It helped me to see that I was falling short. It's just a plain, everyday story, but sometimes that's all it takes for us to see that we're not necessarily doing what God wants us to do. We're not practicing the golden rule in personal evangelism. What does the golden rule have to do with personal evangelism? Everything. There was a city like Granbury that had a parade. We have a lot of parades here if you're from Granbury. One a month almost, it seems. And there were people everywhere and everything going on. And a mother came up there with her little son. And they're on the sideline watching the parade. And it's a great parade and a lot of great things are happening and festivities and activities. And you can just imagine. And I want you to picture this. I'm asking you to picture this. Because if you don't picture this, you're not going to get my point. And so this mother is just kind of watching and everything. And then she looks down and her son's gone. He's gone. He's vanished. Now, if you're a mother, you know what's happening next. She was frantic. She's imagining the worst. She started running. She found the authorities, got them looking. Everybody's looking. As far as she knows, she'll never see this child again. He's vanished. And then, as they are watching and looking for him, and the parade's still going, it's not going to stop for this. And the end of the parade comes. At the very back of the parade was this little boy marching behind the last float, as happy as a lark, going the way he's going. Now, what's the point of the story is this little boy was marching through life, if you will, happy, but fully lost. And that's exactly the way it is with our world. Now, people don't want to admit that. People who have PhDs and masters and a lot of money and they have all these things, they wouldn't tell you they're going through life lost. They might be happy with some kind of happy. It's not true happiness. It's a happiness of the world. And they're marching through life happy. Now, this little boy at the back of that parade, somebody spotted him. And someone had to step out into the street and grab him because he's on his way. He's good. Hadn't thought about what the outcome's going to be at the end of the parade, nor do people in life. And so me and you, we see these people marching through life at the end of the parade. And they may be happy, and you may know enough without being their judge to know they're lost, because God has said, this is what you need to do to please me, and this is what you need to do to find me, and this is what you need to do to go to heaven. And we believe him. We trust him. And therefore, when people don't do these things, when they don't acknowledge Jesus as the Son of God, or when they do acknowledge Jesus as the Son of God, and that's it, and they teach faith only, and when you look up here at the board, I don't see faith only. Especially in the first slide, which says, love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, love your neighbor as yourself. Where is faith in that? Well, it's there. Faith is there. It's underlying. It's first and foremost. Before love comes, we must believe. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. But faith only will not save anyone. And nowhere in the Bible does it say that it will. If you didn't grow up in a Christian family, if you never had Christian parents, I didn't. If you never had Christian grandparents, I didn't. If you never had a true Bible class teacher as a child, I didn't. And some of you didn't either. Then you need to recognize and realize what it's like in everyday life when we encounter that person for the first time, and you've had those opportunities. And many in here have had those opportunities. You're blessed. You're amazingly blessed as a little child if your parents loved you enough to teach you the Word of God, to bring you to church and to bring you to Bible class, to make sure your lessons are done, to make sure you know who God is and who His Son is. And some of you had that from a little baby. Even in the womb, your mothers were singing to you spiritual songs. Amazing. But not everybody gets that. And so when we find these people marching at the end of the parade who've never known the truth, the golden rule says you won't want to ridicule them. You won't want to humiliate them. You won't want to manipulate them. Instead, you want to tell them the truth in love, Ephesians 4, 15. You want to tell them the truth with gentleness and respect, 1 Peter 3, 15. And you want to tell them the truth with complete patience, 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. And that's hard. Sometimes we tell people and we show people and nothing happens. Well, when are you going to respond? Not on my timetable. Patience. Just patience. And you may say, well, that's not me. I'm not ever going to be a messenger. Oh, yes, you are. Every one of you. All of us. The Bible says we're living epistles. We're messengers. We're giving a message to the world. And I need to be very cautious with my body language, with my heart, with my willingness to wait for opportunity. And when the opportunity comes, though, this is the hard part, to take advantage of it. And I know that I have fallen short here too many times. I know I'm not alone. But I would like to ask all of you, and this was the primary reason I brought the message, is this point right here. Is to think about the little child at the back of the parade. Because all of us are touched by that. All of us would want to find that child and rescue that child. Get that child back to the mother. Just as we need to try to get people back to the Father. The Father, God the Father, and His Son, Jesus Christ. The golden rule in evangelism. We could spend hours on it. I would like to encourage the preachers here, elders, to consider this. And for us maybe to look at some other ways of emphasizing the golden rule. Now very quickly, I've got two other points. The golden rule in giving. And I'm not talking about necessarily just monetary giving here at the church building. Certainly that's a part of our giving. If you turn over to James chapter 1. I can get there. James chapter 1. And we're familiar with this verse. Verse 26. If anyone among you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and Father is this: others. To visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. If you struggle with these things, then use the golden rule. You could have been an orphan. You had no control over that. You could have been a physical orphan, or like me, you could have been a spiritual orphan. Because nobody told me what I needed to know when I was a child. My father didn't want to talk about God. Even after I became a Christian, he didn't want to talk about God. And I'm fortunate that I met Tylene. And I'm fortunate that Tylene didn't want to follow the ways of the world, which I was trying to take her down those paths. And instead took me to a meeting, whatever that was. Didn't know what that was. To church. To hear the word of God, and has patiently been with me the whole way in becoming a Christian and trying to grow as a Christian and in trying to practice these things in my life and trying to practice the golden rule. Time. I'm talking about giving time. Boy, we're busy people. I'm not sure why. We've got washers and dryers, we've got microwaves. We got cars. We got so many things to make life faster and quicker. We got loads of extra time they didn't have 100 years ago. That's not true. We have less time. Somehow, we have less time. The golden rule in giving. I'm going to tell you a quick story. We're going to wind this up pretty quick. There was a brother, an older brother, who had a son, about 20 or so, who fell out of a truck. He's in the back of a truck. I wasn't going to tell you the whole story, but I guess I'll go and tell it to you real fast. He was roping a steer from the back of his truck. I didn't know people do that, but he was doing that. And he fell out and hit his head. They thought he was going to die. He was in a coma. He was in the hospital. And you can bet the father was there and the mother was there. And they called the preacher and he was there. And members started showing up, and they started showing up, and they started showing up. And the whole time he was out of it, which was days, they were there. And the father said, I never knew what it meant for brethren to be there for me. Why were they there? Well, one reason might be the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It changed his life forever. This young man, I understand, did recover. The last point I have, and I'll just leave it for you to think about, and maybe I'll have time another time just to bring a lesson on the golden rule and personal boundaries. This has so many outreaching areas you can go. But the one area that we probably should mention is in the area of sexuality. Boy, we live in a tough time about this. And we live in a time when young men want to marry a young woman and they want the young woman to be pure, but they have no concerns about themselves. The golden rule. And the young woman wants the young man to be pure, but no concern about herself. The golden rule. God says sex is undefiled in the marriage relationship. Everywhere else it's wrong. And our whole society is touched by pornography. And I can assure you everybody here one way or another has been affected by it because it's on TV, it's in the magazines, and not just what they call the girly magazines. It's in, yes, the JCPenney catalog and the Sears catalog and all that. There's people, women exposed and men exposed, showing parts of their body that God never intended for our eyes to see. The truth is, if you know what marriage is and you've heard about the husband of one wife and the qualification for an elder, it actually literally means a one-woman man. The golden rule in personal boundaries. We are to be a one-woman man. Men, speaking to men here, with our eyes, with our thoughts, and with our body. The golden rule. Applies there as well. It applies in pornography because if no one bought for not pornography, where would it be? Right? But if you're going to partake in it, you're joining in. You're encouraging the business, so-called businessmen who publish this garbage and destroys lives with it. The golden rule in the area of sexuality and within the marriage itself. There's so much application about the golden rule for me as a husband with my wife and my wife with me. And that's why sometimes I'll watch a romance with her when I'd rather be watching a war picture. Because do unto others as they would have you do unto them. The golden rule is outreaching. But let me suggest something to you. When you look at the story of the parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke 10, you remember the story, right? You had a Pharisee, I believe, and you had a scribe. First, a man was on a journey, and he gets beat up and robbed, left for dead, half dead, I think the Bible says, Luke chapter 10, 25 through 37. And two religious Jews walk by and keep going. They didn't practice the golden rule. But ironically, now this is why I have to end the story with this. Ironically, a Samaritan sees him and has compassion. And if you go read closely what he does, it's incredible. Because he binds up the wounds. He picks up the man and puts it on his animal. Now think about it. I don't know he had two animals. So he had to walk. I don't know how far he had to go. He takes him to a lodge. He puts him in the lodge. He pays the innkeeper. He's not expecting the innkeeper to foot this bill. And not only does he pay him, he says, I'm going to come back. And if it takes more to take care of him, I'm going to make that up to you. The golden rule all through there is being practiced by a half-breed religious person who is not supposedly God's chosen person. Somehow, he was observing the golden rule, and somehow the religious people were not. Wow. We're missing the boat, aren't we? It's possible to miss the boat. I want to close with 1 Timothy chapter 1. Timothy tells us we can miss the boat. Look at 1 Timothy 1. And yes, this is one of my passages that I wear out. Because I read this decades ago and I went, whoa. It isn't just about law keeping. It's way deeper than that. 1 Timothy 1 verse 5 says, let's go back to verse 3. As I urge you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies which cause disputes rather than godly edification, which is the faith. We've got to stay with the word. We have to stay with the word. But we also have to stay with the purpose of the word. And the purpose is found in verse 5. The goal or purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith. Notice verse 6. From which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk. They swerved. They missed the purpose of the commandment, desiring to be teachers of law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. But we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. Knowing this, the law is not made for a righteous person. God didn't say there's a bunch of righteous people down there and I'm going to send them something so they can read. No, that's not how it was. But it's made for the lawless and the insubordinate, for the ungodly, for sinners, for the unholy, for the profane, for murderers of fathers. What? Murderers of fathers? Thought you were supposed to honor your mother and father. We are. But some people were never told and showed how to live. And they need somebody now. And murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for fornicators, for sodomites, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers, and if there are any other thing contrary to sound doctrine. That whole list of people there are people who don't know the golden rule. They don't practice it. And incidentally, when you practice it with them, don't necessarily expect they're going to practice it back. It doesn't always work like that. It might. And I do believe you'll win some when they see that you're doing these things like personal evangelism, not because God said I must do it, or not because I'm paid to do it, or not for any other reason, is because I want to do unto others as they do unto me. I want them to go to heaven. I don't want them to be like that child at the end of the parade. And it changes my whole perspective about personal evangelism when I bring in the golden rule. We're going to have an invitation song here in just a second. And we'd like to invite any and everyone to consider what the message that God has given them. And I want to go back here, right there. We want to encourage everyone to love God with all our heart, mind, and soul. I didn't really say it, but we must say that to love God means I must keep His commandments. I may have said that, I don't remember. Yes, I must keep His commandments. And it was God who sent His Son down here for us, who said that we need to believe in Jesus as the Son of God. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. It is God that said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so we would be amiss not to tell you those things. Part of the golden rule is that I tell you what God wants you to hear and what I need to hear and what I need to do. And we'd like to encourage anyone who has not been baptized, that is immersed in water for the remission of your sins, to do that today. But you do that not because we've told you to, because God is reaching out to you to do that. That is how you can begin to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And that is how you begin to love your neighbor as yourself. If you're subject to His call, His calling, we ask you to come as we stand and sing the invitation song.